Welcome to episode 613 of Flyaway. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Anna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy and Donna. The Great Lakes consist of five freshwater lakes that border the United States. They contain between 20 to 21% of the world's freshwater. This is just a few of the interesting facts that you learn when sailing on the Victory 2 on a Victory Cruise Line Great Lakes cruise. Donna was fortunate to be asked by the cruise line to come and experience what Victory Cruise Lines had to offer her clients that want to sail a little closer to home. So let's get started. This is exciting because some people don't want to go far away.
That is true.
They want to stick close to home.
They do. They do. Or they don't have you actually do need a passport for this, but they really don't want to travel all the way over to Europe. Nearly as much.
Right. Hey, and we've got some pretty places over here. So
we do. We do.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So I don't know that I've sent anyone on this cruise line. I don't know that I've had anybody.
Well, actually, you probably haven't because they were new last year.
Okay, they were new last year. Okay, I wasn't sure when they.
So it actually, Victory Cruise Line was a thing a while ago, and then it got bought up by American Queen Steamboat Company, but then they declared bankruptcy and everything went away. And the guy that basically started Victory Cruise Line stepped back into the helm of running it and restarted the company. And they've only got two ships.
Okay.
And so they do, in the summer months, they do back and forth with the Great Lakes. So one will start in Chicago and end in Toronto, while the other one's starting in Toronto and ends in Chicago, and they just go backward and forward. But then at the end of the season, they have more what they call like a transatlantic kind of thing, because their home port is actually in Jacksonville. So they basically every year take all their ships out of the Great Lakes and take them down the East Coast and then dry dock them for the summer or the winter months and then bring them back up. So you do get, you can do actually a tour of the East Coast as well, but only twice a year.
Okay. Okay.
Interesting.
So I see you started in Toronto and then ended in Chicago.
I did. Okay. So I've never been to Toronto before.
Okay.
And so I decided to go in a couple of days early and I stayed at the Marriott downtown CF Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you walked out of the hotel, you could see, CN Tower, sorry. You could see the CN Tower right outside the hotel. It was just a few blocks. And the night I got there was the last night of the World Cup.
Oh, cool.
In Toronto. So there were crowds everywhere. And I'm like, wow, this is a pretty, happening city. Come to find out, that's really not the case. The whole city of Toronto basically shuts down by 9 p.m.
What?
Oh. No.
Oh, really? Yeah. There's nothing open past 9 p.m.
Really?
Yep. And as big as a city as it is, because it's one of the largest cities in North America, yeah, it's a pretty sleepy kind of place.
That's so funny.
That is shocking.
Way back in the 1900s when I was in college, I knew this girl from Chicago, and she's telling me that they used to go up to Toronto to party because
there's a couple. I mean, Kensington Market, there's lots of bars and restaurants and all up there, but that's just a very small area, and that doesn't really translate to the rest of the city.
Wow.
Huh.
And they were telling us, because I took a Chinatown and a Kensington Market tour. They were saying that that part of the city has kind of been left untouched, and they really feel that it's going to be upgraded, and because there aren't any buildings past like four stories in that entire section, but of the downtown area, but they figure in the next couple of, it's going to be gentrified and there's going to, it's going to look like the rest of the city.
Okay.
That's cool.
So Chinatown, the guy that did the tour, it was, he was pretty, pretty amazing, and he had a lot of facts, and, he did not show Toronto and Canada in a very good light as far as their policies, anti-Chinese. So whatever we did in this, in the United States, they were kind of worse in Canada with the Chinese.
Interesting.
So they, not that, I mean, it's history. So there's really nothing you can do about it now. But they're slowly making changes and everything. And that is, if you want to know what Toronto looked like before industrialization, that's the place to go. And Kensington Market, the guy that was on, one of the guys on our tour, he said it reminded him of Berkeley. So very, very eclectic. They don't want to make any changes. Everything is like two or three stories tall, nothing larger than that. Very funky, lots of head shops, lots of restaurants, bars, art everywhere. It's, it is really kind of a funky place to go.
Huh, cool.
Very and cool. That day, it was one of the hottest days on the entire trip, and it was in the 90s.
And it was, you went during the heat wave, huh?
It was steamy, and nobody wanted to do anything. So as I was walking back, I'm like, "Hey, it's really hot out," and I walk past all these massage places and head spas and things like that. I'm like, "I'm going to go in and got a massage because they've got air conditioning." So I went in and got a facial and a massage, and it was really inexpensive in Chinatown.
Nice.
So I was very happy about that. And then I found this little baker, this was the cool thing. So I asked the lady, I said, "I really want some like Cantonese cooking. What do you recommend?" And she actually left the business, walked me out, and took me to this restaurant. She's like, "You need to go here." I'm like, "Aww. Okay." And That's it was awesome. Like four blocks from where I was. Mm-hmm. And after lunch, I found a bakery. So I found some pineapple buns, which I'd had in Hong Kong. And then as I was walking back, it was really hot. And I'm like, "You know what? This is really hot." And I happened to walk right past the Art Gallery of Ontario. And I'm like, "There's air conditioning in there." And there was a big sign that said Matisse and Monet paintings. And they had an exhibition of art from Dallas that they had actually brought in. And so I'm like, so I bought a pass to go in there, and I saw the whole art museum. It was really cool. Literally, it was cooler than outside. They had some phenomenal art. So it was fantastic. And then I walked I went to this place, this little pub, and had dinner that night. And they had some of the best Belgian beers on tap.
Ooh.
I was very, very impressed with their beer selection. So,
were you by yourself, Donna, or did you take someone with you?
I was by myself.
Okay, cool.
And so the next day, actually, the guide that had taken me on that tour, he recommended going to what they called the Toronto Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And so I checked out of the hotel that I was in and actually moved into the hotel that was provided as part of the cruise tour.
Okay.
So I moved to the Harbor Castle, the Weston Harbor Castle, which is actually right on the water. And the ferry dock just happens to be right there. And so I walked out of my hotel, walked over to the ferry dock. It was about $20 to go over for the day. And you go over there, and there's three different areas. One of them is kind of a neighborhood, quiet area. Then there's a beach, and there's a beach with that area. Then there's a amusement park. And that's kind of stretching it, just FYI. It's all kiddie rides.
Ah.
So it's got a merry-go-round, and it's got a skyway and things like that. And it's got a little petting zoo. And then there's a lighthouse and a small private airport that you can go to. And so I went over there, and I basically walked the entire time. And that was, it was raining almost all day.
Was so, it cooler?
But it was cooler. It was definitely cooler.
Say, so, did that cool things down? Yeah.
It did, but about 3 o'clock I'd had enough, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going back to my hotel and take a nap. So I did.
That sounds nice.
And then we had a we met in the bar that night, all of our this travel agents that were going on this to kind of introduce ourselves. And they had a as a, included in one of the tours, or you can do in every port you go to, just like a river cruise, you get a free tour, depending on what that was. And they did a bus tour around Toronto. I'd already been in Toronto for 2 days, so I decided to skip that. And I walked over to the farmer's market called the St. Lawrence Market. Mm-hmm. Lobster rolls for less than $20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And good chocolate. And so, and, you know, of course, cheese everywhere and you name it. It was there at the farmer's market, and it was very, very crowded. So, and it was all locals. So that was definitely the place to go.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And after that, we actually, they put us, they booked us to the port, and we actually checked in. The Toronto cruise port is not a cruise port. There's a building you walk through, you go through immigration and go through security. And it's literally a room about 1,000 square feet.
Oh, wow. That's it?
Yeah, that's it. Okay. I mean, it's not a big place. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that one of the Viking ships was in port when we got there.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
But because we were only about 300 or 400 people, we went through and there was no lines or anything like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Is that all the ship holds, 300 to 400 people?
Yeah, there's really
are
not.
Are they that small?
It is a very, it reminded okay. me of the ships on the Nile.
Mm-hmm.
There are four decks, but there's, and so they actually, the way it works is a lot of times on most of the ships, like the river cruising ships, you have a set of stairs at one end of the ship, and then you've got bars and restaurants and everything, and then all the cabins, the staterooms are all along. This one, the staircase is actually in the middle of the ship, and then there's mm-hmm. actually staterooms going out on decks 2 and decks 3 mm-hmm. going out in all directions.
Okay.
Okay.
And there are a few on deck 4. So that's the other thing, is that this is kind of older style cruising.
Mm-hmm.
There are no balconies, period.
Oh.
It's all okay. ocean view cabins with a porthole window.
Mm-hmm.
Except there are a few on the fourth deck that actually mm-hmm. open up to the deck, which is fine if it's sunny and everything. But if it's raining, then you have to walk out of your cabin into the rain to get back into the ship. There's no way to avoid the rain.
There's not an interior door to your cabin?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
that's no, weird.
It's an exterior door out. And so they've got a couple of, so that is your balcony cabins, because it's basically more like a terrace, and you've got a couple of chairs outside the door of your room. So it kind of,
okay.
kind of reminds me of a motor lodge on the fourth deck.
I think I'll just take a porthole window.
Where you're not like parking your car in front of it, though.
No, but so it had that kind of out, basically the door goes to the outside. So
This is going to sound really, this might be a really stupid question, but I'm looking at a map of the Great Lakes and they don't look like they connect. So did you cruise all of the five lakes, or how?
We did, actually.
Okay, how's that work?
So coming from Toronto, you actually go through some locks upstream from Niagara Falls.
Okay.
So you actually come through some locks that way in Port Colborne, which is actually in Canada. Mm-hmm. And so we parked there for the morning, and the morning tour, the additional cost tours, they always had a regular tour, and then they had a premium and an immersive tour. Mm-hmm. The premium tours sometimes included a meal. The immersives were actually more hands-on painting or designing or doing a food tour kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it brought you into what was in the area. Okay. Now, in Niagara, I actually did just the regular tour, and it was the Niagara Cruises, and so they did the... It's not like the Maid of the Mist, because the Maid of the Mist is on the U.S. side. This was on the Canadian side. But it's the same kind of thing. They give you a raincoat, and you basically go up to the falls, and you, of course, completely get soaking wet and then come all the way back. So,
now, they have a complimentary excursion at every port.
Yes.
But then they do they have others that, like you said, like there's like some premium, and do they have ones that are like an upcharge? Like you can do, like there's,
And I'll actually get to some of those.
Okay.
But the way it's designed, usually you can do both in one day. So you can do the free tour in the morning or the free tour in the afternoon, and you can do a premium or an immersive tour opposite.
Oh, that's cool.
So you could have your whole day full if you want to. Mm-hmm. I did the afternoon Niagara Falls, but the morning I basically was there by myself. Actually, I ended up doing a lot of work that morning. There, just FYI, there is nothing going on when the tours are out. If you went into the lounge, which I did, because I actually got up late, because I knew I didn't have to be anywhere till 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I went to breakfast, and I went down to breakfast, and they're like, oh, breakfast is closed. You need to go to the grill, which is up on the fourth deck. I get up there, and everything is cleared off. They're like, well, you have to get food. So the app is not the best as far as showing what is available, unlike ocean cruising. Mm-hmm. You just kind of have to know when everything closes, and you ask, and they don't always tell you the right thing.
Did you ever get
but breakfast? I did find some pastries in the lounge, and like I said, I got up there and people were doing crossword puzzles. Mm-hmm. So that is the extent of the excitement wall.
So if you opted out and you just, I mean, are you going to be able to find lunch? I mean, do they serve?
Yes. Oh, yes. Because they have lunch at noon every day. But you can also go to the grill at like 11:30. So they do have set hours for each, but it's different every day.
Gotcha.
So you just kind of have to ask.
So I'm kind of hearing you saying that this is like an older crowd, or is it family friendly?
Most definitely.
Are there kids?
Oh, okay. I did not see any kids, and I think kids would, unless they are glued to their electronics, there's really nothing for them to do.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
So then we get to Cleveland, and the free excursion for Cleveland was going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay. Makes sense.
And I really like this because not only do you go over there at whatever time you sign up for, every 30 minutes they had a bus basically taking people back to the ship.
Okay.
So you could stay there as all day if you wanted to, or you could, you know, go do an Uber and do something else if you wanted to. Because I spent probably 4 hours going through the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see that. That'd be cool. Yeah.
There was a lot of really cool thing in it. One of the exhibit that they had was 50 years of music with SNL.
Oh,
with Saturday Night Live. So it was a lot of memorabilia as well as little clips and things like that. And then they had a whole thing in a movie that was all different acts that were had sung with Saturday Night Live, some of the mm-hmm. best ones. Then they had Women in Music and how they had revolutionized and changed music. And then they had an exhibit with Soul Train. So you could sit there in a theater and watch old reruns of Soul Train. It was really, really slick.
That's funny.
And the traveling exhibit was actually Paul McCartney and Wings.
Okay, cool.
But nice. You can go in there and they've got instruments that you can, they have what's called the garage. You can actually go in there and just jam.
Huh, that's cool.
So it is a really cool museum to go see. Bad thing is there's nowhere to eat anywhere near there except a really bad Mexican restaurant.
That feels like a missed opportunity, Ohio.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, there was a pretty bad Mexican restaurant down the street. Yeah. And then, of course, there's a restaurant in that's all just hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff. So
how was the food on the ship, though? Just speaking of food.
It was not super gourmet. It was more everyday. But it was still, of course, it was like eating in at a cruise ship. So it was mass produced, you know. It wasn't phenomenal, but it wasn't bad either.
Okay.
And then the next day, so then we traveled we had a sea day. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Nope. I'm sorry. We were in Lake
Erie.
Erie, yes, and made it all.
I mean,
the
you
way
had to, a lake day. You didn't have we had a lake. Well, we had to Detroit,
and the free excursion to Detroit is the Henry Ford Museum. And if you've never been to the Henry Ford Museum, watch Mo Rocca doing on Sunday morning or on Saturday mornings on CBS, and he'll take you all the way to the Henry Ford Museum. There's actually two parts to the Ford Museum. One of them is all innovation, invention. It's all inside. Mm-hmm. And then there's an outside that's called Greenfield Village. And Greenfield Village is like a living history farm. So you get to walk through these houses and talk to the people that are actually sitting there tilling the soil and keeping the animals and everything. And you can add on a steam train, you can add on a carriage ride, you can add on a Model A or a Model T. So there's some really cool things to be done out there. And I had lunch out there at Greenfield Village.
Okay.
And had a pasty. Not a pasty, a pasty.
That sounds great.
And a pasty is...
I was going to say, what the heck is a pasty?
It's kind of like an empanada.
Okay.
So it's a pastry, and then you've got meat and vegetables on the inside gravy, and you dip it in gravy, and so.
Oh, you had me at dipping in gravy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it's sounding good.
Now it sounds good. Now a pasty sounds
not a pasty, a pasty.
Oh, a pasty. Excuse me.
Yes, and they will correct you because pasties belong on nipples, and pasties are what you eat.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And then the next day we did that was a sea day. We actually went through Lake Huron. And there were no stops there on that day. And it was actually kind of a good thing because it was rainy and foggy and overcast and everything. So it was actually not a bad day that we had a sea day in the middle.
How do the lakes do with like rough weather? So I've seen pictures of like Lake Ontario or like Erie or like Michigan with like waves. So,
well, Michigan, like Michigan had waves. And Superior can definitely have waves. However, that's usually at the turn of the seasons.
Okay.
It's not.
So the rain wasn't.
It wasn't
like stormy with the rain.
No. That's good. That's not to say that it can't, but it was like glass most of the time.
Yeah.
And so that day we actually got to go up to the pilot house they had arranged a tour for us to tour the pilot house, and they answered all our questions and showed us all of the equipment. It's pretty technologically sound as mm-hmm. far as what they have. They have radar, they have weather, they have, you know, you name it, they have it on there. And they have a pretty extensive fire control system. So if you are caught smoking in your cabin, they will come find you.
So you're going to get caught is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yes, yes. And it is pretty sensitive. They said actually somebody had hot tea or something, and it was just, it was super hot. And the steam, or the steam from the shower, if you take too hot of a shower, it can actually set off the fire control system.
Wow.
So don't steam up the bathroom.
That's crazy.
My husband has done that on a cruise ship before, actually.
Really?
Yeah. And our cabin steward came like running, like, it was like melt his skin off hot, and it just set off something. I think it was on a Virgin cruise. I think that's the one we were on. It was so funny. But anyway, so they do have specialty dining, because it looks like they do. So we had Tuscan place.
So the grill, which is kind of that's kind of the buffet. That they have. And so you can kind of go up there. They've got hamburgers and hot dogs and usually have paninis. And so it's for breakfast and lunch, that it's kind of a buffet style. But at dinner, they have what's called they turn it to the Tuscan Stone Grill. Okay. And that's the only specialty dining. And it's not, it is specialty dining, but it's not. It's very small portions, so it's like tapas. And then they serve you this super hot square stone, and they've got your meat actually cooking on, they bring it to your table like that. And so it actually cooks on this hot stone. And of course, if you want more, they can always bring you more. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a gimmick. The dessert was good.
Is it included?
It is included. Yes.
It's not an upcharge. Okay.
And you could go there every night if you wanted to. You just got to make reservations.
Okay. But normally at night, is it like a main dining where you just go?
There is. That's
like
where.
Like a different menu every night.
Yes. And they do, of course, have the three staples. They've got steaks and chicken, and then they've always got a vegetarian dish.
Okay.
Nice. There were a couple people that were vegan, so if you are vegan, it was a little bit more difficult. And I have a allergy to peppers, and I had to remind them a couple of times. So if you have serious anaphylactic allergies, probably I would steer clear. It's just a minor allergy, then they could pretty much handle it fine. And we did have quite a few vegetarians, and also they ordered the vegetarian dishes, and it was no problems there.
Okay.
Cool. And then the next day we were in Sault Ste. Marie. And so we only we went through the Sioux Locks and basically went out into Lake Superior, turned around and went back through the Sioux Locks. Just to kind of say we did.
Gotcha.
It doesn't actually go way into Lake Superior. And then we stopped and our excursion, we did the premium excursion. It was a picnic lunch at a local park.
Okay.
We were kind of guinea pigs for this to see if it was a good excursion. And we all pretty much concluded that it needed a little work.
Okay.
Because it was a picnic shelter with a beach, but the beach was, you know, it was a very, very small beach, and you could stick your toes in. And of course it's Lake Superior, so it was cold.
Yeah.
But I do know they had a kayaking excursion for the immersive excursion.
Okay.
So if you wanted to go lake kayaking, that would definitely be a better thing. And then they drop you off in town and you kind of just wander through. And lunch was included, so.
Okay.
And then one of the best excursions was the next day in Mackinac. The free excursion, actually. So we parked the ship at St. Ignace, mm-hmm. and there's a ferry that takes you over to Mackinac Island, mm-hmm. and that's all included. And so you get on the ferry, and then you can come back that same day. I personally have been to Mackinac, so I did the carriage tour that was included around the island. Mm-hmm. But then if you want the immersive tour, they can take you for lunch at the Grand Hotel. That's, if you've ever seen Somewhere in Time mm-hmm. with Christopher Reeve, that's the Grand Hotel. And it is a very fancy, very, very antebellum looking mm-hmm. hotel built in the 1860s. Okay. And super nice, pretty expensive to stay the night. I think mm-hmm. I clocked it at about $1,000 a night.
Okay.
So yes, but it's a phenomenal hotel. And actually I had already done high tea at the hotel, mm-hmm. which I highly recommend.
Okay.
So I actually took, for my day, I actually took the ferry over to Mackinac City and wandered around Mackinac City, which was not nearly as crowded.
Okay.
And then took the ferry back, and then took the ferry from Mackinac Island over to St. Ignace.
Okay.
But if you like fudge, you can literally do fudge tastings at every fudge place in Mackinac Island. By the time you actually got through all the fudge places, you would have eaten a pound and a half of fudge.
Oh,
just okay. tasting their free samples.
Wow.
And so how do you know this, Donna? Is that what you did?
No, they told us. So, you know,
sure.
You're going to get really good fudge anywhere in Mackinac. So.
Nice.
Cool.
And they have lots of ice cream shops and things like that.
Yeah.
But I went to the brewery.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
Of course mm-hmm. you did. I do have a question, though, about the ship. Is
okay.
there any kind of entertainment on board? Like in the evenings, like after dinner, like is there any live music? Any like little
there
shows?
There is a anything? House band.
Okay.
And the house band consists of three permanent members, and then there's a singer that comes in a couple of nights a week. So mm-hmm. the house band does, there's a guitar, there's a drummer, and a keyboardist, and of course they sing as well. But they have theme nights. So it's going to be 50s one night, and it's going to be the 70s one night, and 80s another night. And then they had one night, and the lady that is the singer that comes in, she does jazz and R&B, mm-hmm. and she is quite phenomenal. She's got an amazing voice.
Awesome. So is that the extent of the entertainment, though?
Like, that is
the extent
of the
entertainment. There's not going to be anything else.
No, okay. No, it's live music every evening. And then there is a bar. It's small. Mm-hmm. And they had a grand piano, but I never saw anybody playing it.
Oh, that's sad. That'd
so, but of course, you know, I'm a kind of an early bird, so I don't stay out late.
Yeah. Okay.
And then then we're almost to the end. So then we got to Escanaba, which is actually located in the Upper Peninsula.
Okay.
But it's on the Lake Michigan side. Mm-hmm. And Escanaba was a forestry center. Mm-hmm. And they also mm-hmm. did iron ore that mm-hmm. they would bring through there. And Escanaba became a thing because they were bringing all of those things through the Sioux Locks. But during World War II, they were afraid that if the Sioux Locks had ever been bombed, they needed another way to get all that out. And so that's why they created the city of Escanaba. And Escanaba was timber and iron. And so, but that's, it doesn't do iron anymore, but it still does forestry. Mm-hmm. And we did a tour around town that was the included tour, as well as a museum visit. And you could either do, there was two museums there. One of them, there was a guy that came up with some inventions for outdoor orienteering and kind of before REI was a thing, this guy mm-hmm. came out with some of these inventions. It was a knife for the Boy Scouts and a little holder for waterproof matches, and he was an inventor, and he was from that area. But then there was also a World War, a war museum that you could wander through, but I kind of stuck to the inventor.
Okay.
And then they fed you some pasties. Again, more pasties.
Gotcha.
And I learned a very interesting thing. So in Michigan, in lower Michigan, they serve mm-hmm. them with gravy. In mm-hmm. upper Michigan, they serve it with ketchup.
Oh. Yeah, I want know. The gravy. I think I'll take the gravy. I'll take the gravy.
Wow. That's quite a difference.
It is.
And normally they let you just kind of wander the downtown, but it just so happened that for the next like 10 weeks, the entire downtown, they had ripped up the streets and the sidewalks because they were laying new sewer lines and water lines. So we were not able to really do that.
Okay.
But then the best one, the best day was Milwaukee.
Okay.
And you're thinking Milwaukee was really the best of all?
I mean, no. I'm looking at all the things you ate.
Right? Yeah.
So yeah. The free tour was a bus tour, and they took you around. There was a lighthouse and a park and the Pabst Mansion, which was, you know, Pabst Brewery. Mm-hmm. But then the immersive tour, and this is the one I was so excited about, the Tastes of Milwaukee Dairyland. So they took us to a brewery, a really awesome brewery with really fantastic, phenomenal beer. Because beer is very important to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. That's where Pabst came from, and old Milwaukee, and Schlitz. Mm-hmm. And
classics, so
yes. So beer is a very big in Milwaukee culture, and they let us have cheese curds, and we learned about the making of beer. I kind of skipped the beer tour because my husband's a brewer, but I sat at the bar and drank beer.
What about the Wiener window?
The Wiener window. So there's a company called Ursinger's, and it's a German company.
Uh-huh.
That is a meat market, and they have these sausages and bratwursts, and there's right next to the Milwaukee Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, no, the Milwaukee Bucks stadium. There's this wiener window, and you walk up, and they give you a wiener.
Nice.
And it is literally right. called the
Just
wiener
exactly
window.
Like it says, right?
Mm-hmm. So we got wieners and went back to the bus, and nobody wanted to. They normally do a walking tour, but it was 95 degrees, and the people in Milwaukee were just dying because it was so hot. Of course, the rest of us from the south were like, okay, what's the problem?
Well, and you're probably ready for a nap after all that food.
Oh, no, because then we went to the cheese.
Oh, but wait, there's more.
And the sausage store in the little section of Germantown. And so, I mean, it was yummy, 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 yummy. So I would go back to Milwaukee and bring Jeff because, you know what, the food was really, really, really good.
What a under the radar plug, you know, like that's an off the beaten path one.
Nobody thinks of Milwaukee.
I know.
But and they also have Chicago pizza, so you know, you don't have to go to all the way Chicago.
Yes.
Nice.
Wow. That's awesome. So then you ended in Chicago.
Yes. And I'd been traveling so much for the last 2 months that I was supposed to stay an extra day. And I said, you know what? I just want to go home. So
I
did.
I can go back to Chicago later. Yeah.
Chicago is a phenomenal town, and there's lots to do there, lots to eat. I mean, you could spend a week in Chicago and still not, I mean, even scratch the surface.
Yeah. Well, the cruise sounds pretty fun. I mean, what would you say is like, I know you said older crowd, but what would you say is like the kind of age range that you would see on this?
I would probably go 65 and older.
Okay.
So
it's definitely for that older crowd.
So does it seem very accessible then? So like if you have mobility issues or don't walk that much, would it be okay for that?
And well, yes and no. One of the suggestions that we made actually, so when we checked in Toronto, it was a bit of a hike to get from the building to the ship. Mm-hmm. Cause we didn't have the first berth. We had the second berth. Viking mm-hmm. had the first one. If we'd been where the Viking ship was located, it would have been totally fine, for most people. Mm-hmm. But because we were in the second berth, the suggestion was made that, having a golf cart to carry some of the people to, the ship would have been a good thing, especially since they're carrying extra bags because they're, you know, checking into the, our bags were picked up from the hotel and directly sent to the ship. But of course people had their carry-ons and things like that. So,
right. Okay. Interesting. Good to know.
But most of the time, the buses would pick us up, right in front of the ship. And so we basically just had to walk off the ship. The only other thing you need to remember is most of these are industrial ports. These are not the same kind of ports that you may be used to with ocean cruising. Mm-hmm. These are working ports for industrial. So they're not pretty. It's basically you tie off and there's an empty field or an empty parking lot. And that's it. That's the port.
Okay.
So you really want to sign up for the included excursions, or at least an excursion, because that will get you the bus to wherever it's prettier.
Gotcha. Because it sounds like it'd be terribly boring. Like it's not a ship that you would just stay back to like spend the day. Like
no.
With an ocean cruise. If I'm in a port that I'm like, okay, I've been to Nassau 15 times. I don't want to get off. I'm going to stay on the ship. And there's things to do. So it doesn't sound like that's the case here.
There's
so you definitely
want to get off.
There's puzzles
and games and things like that. So if you had a group of people.
That might be fun.
And you could sit there and play bridge or cards or hearts or spades or whatever. Then, yeah, that would totally be fine.
Right.
But if you're going by yourself and you want to hang back on the ship, there's really not much going on. However, every night. Mm-hmm. When they're introducing the next day, they're telling you about the port you're going to. There's a lake, what they call the Lake Lorien. Mm-hmm. And she tells you some of the history of the cities that we were going to and some of the interesting geography of the area, the different interesting things about the different lakes and some of the history of shipping and shipwrecks and you name it. The weather, the geography, the geology, the you name it. It was, she was very, very fascinating to listen to.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, cool. Sounds pretty cool. Well, so I think we've covered it. Sounds really cool. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, we would love to hear from you. So on behalf of Donna, Sandy, and myself, Anna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.